Recording now.
So we left off last week. We were discussing really two malachas, which are of course very much linked to one another: malach of kibbuy and malach of havara, malach of extinguishing and malach of lighting a fire. So we spoke about something which is potentially very, very relevant lamaisa, and that's the issue of what the halacha says about both extinguishing and kindling and lighting not a piece of wood, not something that's going to actually burn with a flame, but rather something that's going to be like a metal that's going to glow. The reason why, of course, this is so relevant in the Maisa is that this sets the stage for so much of the discussion about electricity, at least to the issue about electric lights. So we pointed out that within the sugya of kibbuy gachel shabateches, which is an explicit gemara, there was a big machlekes about a kibbuy gachel shabateches. The only thing the gemara said is that you're allowed to do it if you're afraid someone's going to get hurt. But the question is, what conclusion should we draw from that? So many Rishonim drew the conclusion that if you're allowed to do it to prevent somebody from really getting hurt, that must be a proof that it's only midirabbanan. That's what Rashi's take was, that was Sefer Yerayim's take was, that there cannot be a nisa deraisa. If it would be a nisa deraisa, then we would never ever be matir, it's just simply to prevent people from getting hurt. You would to prevent people from nefesh, but not simply to prevent a makom hezek. So it must be that it's dirabbanan for multiple reasons. What makes it derabbanan? Why is it on a derabbanan? So Rashi explained, because when you extinguish a glowing piece of metal, so it's not going to turn into a coal. And the whole malachas kibbuy of the Mishkan was only when it's a asiyas pechem, only if it's made into a pechem, it's made into a charcoal. That was the whole essence of the malacha. And anytime that doesn't exist, so by definition, that cannot be the malachas kibbuy. That's what Rashi said. And the Sefer Yerayim said, no, the Sefer Yerayim said, the simple reason is because they didn't do that in the Mishkan. The Mishkan, they lit wood. They didn't light metal. It's not wood. It's not dubi the Mishkan. Not because there's anything missing in the gold of Malach, which is simply that wasn't the way the Malach was practiced. So both Rashi and Rabbi Eliezer admits, the Mechaber, the Sefer Yerayim, Rabbi Eliezer admits was the Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. So both Rashi and Rabbi Eliezer admits agree that extinguishing a glowing piece of metal is only an Issa Derabbanan, but for very, very different reasons. Then there was a third possibility we spoke about last week. That was the view of the Baal Halachos Gedolos, that in fact it's deraisa. That in Rosh Hashanah, that to extinguish a glowing piece of metal can be a malacha deraisa. The only reason why it's mutter b'mokom hezek harabim is, we mentioned last week, that the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, extended the definition of pekuach nefesh. Pekuach nefesh, when you're dealing with a rabim, is much harder to calculate. And therefore, even something that maybe is not quite a regular standard of pekuach nefesh, when you have a whole bunch of people that's going to affect, so that's always a chashash. Maybe that's also dino like a suffix pikuach nefesh. So again, in terms of malachas kibbuy, we're not 100% sure whether there's a derais or derabbanan taking place, but we're much, much more interested in terms of malachas havara. We want to know tachlis in terms of causing a piece of metal to glow. That's an electric light. I mean, it's an old style electric light. The old style Thomas Edison bulbs, incandescent bulbs, you turn on the power and you cause a little metal filament to glow. Is that a malacha deraisa or not? Is that called avara or not? So l'chora, that depends on what you think about kibbuy. So if you hold, like the Baal Halachos Gedolos, that this kibbuy deraisa on mateches, and obviously there's avara deraisa on mateches. Kibbuy means you're not allowed to extinguish a flame, you're not allowed to extinguish an ash. That's what malachas kibbuy is. So if kibbuy speaks to a glowing piece of metal, then obviously avara also speaks to a glowing piece of metal. What about according to Rashi and the Urayim? According to those Rishonim that say that there's no kibbuy deraisa, what would they say about havara? So they would probably part ways on this one. According to Rashi, the reason why there's no kibbuy is because malachas kibbuy requires a pecham. It doesn't mean it's not an ash. Of course it's an ash. From the fact that Rashi had to bend over backwards and give you another shtilter, why is there no kibbuy deraisa? Because of this quirk of asiyas pecham, because you need a charcoal to be called kibbuy. The clear implication of Rashi is that if not for that reason, it would have been kibbuy deraisa. There's nothing preventing it from being kibbuy deraisa. And therefore, havara deraisa would be havara deraisa. Why do you need a charcoal for havara deraisa? What does charcoals have to do with havara? So according to Rashi, it would seem pretty clear that lighting a piece of metal, making a piece of metal glowing, applying heat to the metal, making it glow, would be a real bona fide malacha deraisa. According to the Sefer Yerayim, maybe that wouldn't be the case. Because according to the Sefer Yerayim, if it didn't happen in the Mishkan, so that's too far from the model of Mishkan. Now, again, Mishkan is always a very, very tricky model. It's very, very hard for us to ascertain this halacha doesn't apply because it didn't apply in the Mishkan. We never really know where to draw the line. What's called Dumi the Mishkan, not called Dumi the Mishkan. Even within the Tanoim, we find that they sometimes argued about this, these intricacies of, is that too close or too far removed from the model of Mishkan? So bottom line is that to make metal glow, according to the Baal Os Gadol, is for sure Nisa Deraisa. According to Rashi, it's for sure Nisa Deraisa. According to the Urayim, maybe not. Maybe according to the Sefer Urayim, it's not. How do we pass in the halacha? So the Pashas of the Rambam is that it's also Malacha Deraisa. The Rambam talks about the possibility of making metal glow to be a Malacha Vavar. The Rambam also talks about it potentially being Malacha Deraisa. So the Pashas of the Rambam is that's how we should pass it. And that's the way all the Gedolei HaPosek can pass it. When the Shaila first came up, and in the end of the 1800s, when the electric light started, so it was brought to the Gedolei Olam of Europe at the time, and they all came up, they universally accepted the view that this is a Malacha Deraisa. Again, we're talking about lights. We're not yet talking about other devices, though. We spoke a little bit about that in the past. But in terms of the old-fashioned until like 2 years ago, regular old lights that were just simply pieces of metal filament that was glowing. So the Haskamas HaPoskim was that that's an outright Malacha Deraisa. Belishim Sofek, we have no right to be making on that whatsoever. That's an outright Malacha Deraisa. Just because we paskin that making an electric light glow, that's considered to be havar, that's considered to be esh, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be useful for us in terms of other areas of halacha besides of a Shabbos. Let's say if you have other areas of a halacha that require neiros, require candles, so that's a whole different story. So this was at least three different areas of halacha where the poskim are different upon what I think should be, not in terms of is this an age. Avad it's an age. Avad is also about esh chomosh v'seichem. Avad is the malacha deraisa, but sometimes the halacha requires something more than just an age. It requires a specific a nair. So can we call a glowing light bulb a nair? So this shayla was raised in terms of Neir Shabbos. It was a little bit late for Chanukah this year, but it was late. It was raised in terms of Neir Chanukah. It was raised in terms of Bdikas Chometz, because they had the which says all of us are bokir, so chometz or haner. And the answer to the question is not necessarily the same in all three. So because once you're out of the realm of is it called an esh, we're committed that it's called an esh, but the question is there any other reason that would potentially disqualify, that would eliminate an electric light from this category of halacha? So each one really has to be judged as on merit. So again, we're not really learning those sugyas right now, but we'll just talk about it very quickly just to highlight how it plays out in terms of what we're talking about, what we are speaking about. When it comes to Neir Shabbos, so one could argue that you have to look at what the purpose is. What's the goal of Neir Shabbos? Why are you lighting Neir Shabbos in the first place? So it would appear from the Gemara, they're almost like a combination of three different reasons why you're lighting Neir Shabbos. One is because of Shalom Bayis. The Gemara says explicitly, that's actually the Gemara in the sugya of Neir Chanukah, Neir Shabbos. And the Gemara says that if you don't have enough money for Neir Chanukah, Neir Shabbos, so you use the money for Neir Shabbos first because Neir Shabbos is Mishum Shalom Bayis. So Shalom Bayis is Doicha Neir Chanukah. As important as Neir Chanukah is, Pesu Menisa, it still loses out to Shalom Bayis. That's the very last Rambam, Ruchas Chanukah, where the Rambam finishes Sefer Zmanim, and he talks a little bit about that halacha, about how important the Shalom is, how the whole goal of the Mitzvah Torah to create Shalom in this world, and we should have a peaceful world, a good world. The Torah doesn't want there to be fighting, doesn't want there to be animosity, doesn't want there to be wars in the world. Those are all terrible things. So the Rambam goes out of his way to explain the significance of Shalom. So Neir Shabbos definitely has a lot to do with Shalom Bayis, and the reason being is that if it's dark, you're not going to be in a very good mood. When you're not in a good mood, it's hard to be b'shalom. So you can't see the food that you're eating, and you're bumping into each other, and you're banging your head into tripping on the chair. So that's not going to be very conducive to Shalom Bayis. So that's one reason why Chazal instituted Neir Shabbos. And there's another reason why they instituted Neir Shabbos: Mishum Anik Shabbos. You should enjoy your Shabbos, and specifically the Suda, which is an expression of Onik Shabbos, should be done Or Haner. That's why you have to dafka light the candles in a place where you can see them where you're eating. And then there's the third part of Onik Shabbos, which is Kavod Shabbos, which as the Vilna-Gaon explains, is what we do before Shabbos. Anything that we do as a preparation that shows great honor of Shabbos, and I'm lighting up the room. If it would be just a regular night and a regular Tuesday night, I wouldn't make such a to-do to light up the room. I'm just in the dark. But the fact that I'm lighting up the candles on Friday afternoon to show there's a very chashuv a day upon us, So that goof is considered to be an act of Kavod Shabbos. There are many, many reasons why we light the Shabbos candles. But one could argue that those reasons really would be fulfilled with electric lights as well. That if you have electric light on, it's going to be plenty of light. You're not going to bump into anything. So Shalom Bayis is accomplished. Onik Shabbos will enjoy your meal and be able to see what you're reading. And Kavod Shabbos, the chandelier is on. So it looks like a beautiful, well-illuminated room. So one could argue that all of the reasons that Chazal instituted Ne'er Shabbos apply for with electric lights. That's what some poskim wanted to argue, that one can fulfill the mitzvah, even though the nusach habrachas l'hadik ne'er shel Shabbos, one can argue that's also good enough because all the reasons that would apply. That would be a similar type of a line of reasoning when it comes to b'digas chometz. Mishnah says that you have to do b'digas chometz with a ne'er, so the Gemara explains that Chazal instituted with a ne'er for a whole series of reasons. They didn't want us to use an avuka, they didn't want us to use a torch, because a nair, you can get into the nooks and crannies better. A nair, you're not afraid to burn down your whole house. You do a better job, whatever. Basically, the Gemara gives a whole series of reasons why or a nair is the best way to do bedika. So one could argue that all those reasons apply. So that's the case. So then even though the Mishnah says or a nair, but that's okay. Electric light, a flashlight would also be acceptable for the purposes of bedika's chometz. You know, and again, not everyone agrees to both of those statements. There are some poskim who said that you can't use electric for Ne'er Shabbos, even though the reasons apply, but the takana was a Ne'er, and a Ne'er has the connotation of a shemen and a psila with wicks and, you know, oil or something like that. So there are some poskim who were opposed to using electric lights for Ne'er Shabbos. And there were some poskim who questioned using flashlights for Bdikas Chometz also, because that same reason, that if the takana was or haner, maybe this is for sure, this is not called the Ne'er. I think that even though obviously on a regular Friday night, my wife light regular candles. Every once in a while, we're just stuck. So women's in the hospital, some other places, we can't light regular candles. So I think we can rely on the Ikra Din on the electric lights. When it comes to B'dikas Chametz, I think even Lechet Chivli should use a flashlight, because we're not going to do a good job. Gemara says that Chazal didn't want you to use a torch for B'dikas Chametz because they were afraid you're going to be nervous to go under the bed and do a good job with the torch. Bezman Hazeh, you try to use even a small Chanukah candle for B'dikas Chometz, you're going to do a miserable job for B'dikas Chometz. The only way you're going to do a real good job is with a flashlight. You want to use a candle at the beginning just to feel like you're back in Eastern Europe and make it a little bit more, you know, ruchnia, so that's fine. That's what we do, just, you know, Zechet, Minigam Hasenim Yadener, but Matachas, the real B'dikas Chometz is done with flashlights. When it comes to the third halacha, the halacha of Neiris Chanukah, so that's a little bit trickier, because Neiris Chanukah, it could be that Neiris Chanukah was instituted keneged halacha of the Beis HaMikdash and keneged HaMenorah. That's what the Ran writes, different context in Neiris Chanukah. And therefore, it has to have a shemen or psila. It has to have an oil or a wax. It has to have a wick. It has to have something that resembles the lighting of the menorah. Whereas even though it's true that the Neiris Chanukah, it's an eish, when I light with a flashlight, that's called an eish, but it's not really called a ner. That's what some poskim were questioned. And others of Shlomo Zalman had other issues with possibly using electric, is that there's a din that you have to have the whole amount of oil via b'shas hadlocha. We poskim hadlocha is a mitzvah. So I can't, let's say, start a very, very small candle and add in oil later. It has to all be present. The shear of 30 minutes of hadlocha has to be there at the moment that I light it. That's what some poskim had a question. If I turn on an electric light, so let's say I light the electric menorahs or something, so then the oil's not really there, the power's not really there, it's constantly coming. So when the oil, when the power's coming from PSENG, that's like the equivalent of a person adding an oil later, that may be a problem. That's where Shlomo Zalman was willing to make it on flashlights. That if you have a battery powered menorah or flashlight or something, that's better, because then the whole battery is the Ebishas Maiseh. So if you're not so worried about the Shemen of Psilah story, you're more worried about the Shear of Shemen, maybe that would be okay. So again, these are all details within, assuming everything we said now is true in terms of the Shabbos, that a glowing piece of metal, electric light, is called an Eish, and it would be a Deraisa of Eish, then you'd have to figure out, does that halacha carry over to these different mitzvahs that Chazal instituted to some degree, a Ner? There's a story about the Reb Chaim Oizer. That Reb Chaim Oizer used to have Gola, like the Borim or Ha'esh,
join the meeting.
He used to light it, so he used to make a Borim or Ha'esh specifically on an electric light. because he wanted to highlight the fact that it's considered to be an eish, that nobody should think that you're allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos. Chaim Eisler lived in the early part of the 1900s, so it was still a relatively new issue, the electric lights. So he was nervous that people were going to think that he can be a little mazalza, he could be a little lenient about electricity. So he wanted to be meitzig liban to show everybody that he held it was such an eish gomer, belishum safek, that he would actually recite the bracha barmer eish on the electric light. I used to do that for a while. In addition to that, we used to also light a bell candle. We did not light a bell candle, we also light a bell candle. But I used to sometimes recite the barmer eish on both on the light as well as on the bell candle, because we used to have these little see-through, incandescent bulbs on one of the fixtures on the wall. Those who know the way our living room is laid out, on top of the fireplace that has never ever been used in the last 15 years, but at least has that cozy look of having a fireplace. So there's these two little lamps that look like giant candles, and they used to take these little incandescent bulbs. So I used to recite the Barmer Eish on the fire of the candle, obviously. Then I was look at that also. So that would also be part of my bracha Barmer Eish for other technical halachic reasons. The only problem is that they ran out of the see-through bulbs, or the regular bulbs, and now the bulbs that they have are not, they're no longer filaments anymore. Now they're just some kind of gas or something, glowing inside. It's nothing really glowing. It's not really a piece of metal anymore. The person can say that for sure. You can't make a Barmer Eish then. So you have to go find the old style bulbs if you want to make a Barmer Eish on that. So I know Ron's our electrician in the shul, so maybe see if we can find some. When I was cleaning up my parents' apartment, so I found they had a whole bunch of old bulbs from the days of Chaim Eisler, whatever. Then I figured, okay, those little, they also had that kind of like a little chandelier thing. So I took them. I was kind of hoping that maybe I could salvage those bulbs. They didn't fit into my fixture. I wasn't really going to take the whole chandelier off the ceiling. So it was just Zelzai, so we left it. And we have to rely on the Barmer Eish and the candles like the rest of Chaim Eisler. Anyway, back to the story. So in terms of Malacha Shabbos, so the consensus view, Choladei is that turning on a regular electric bulb is a Malacha Gemur Deraisa of Havara. There was a big machlekes haposkim in Europe about how this plays out in terms of Yontif, because Yontif, you're allowed to light fires on Yontif. The only thing is that you have to be careful not to start a fire from scratch. The Mishnah says in Beitza, that it's prohibited to rub two sticks or two stones together to make a fire come to existence on Yontif. Going to most, that's probably only an Issa D'Rabbanan for a variety of reasons. It's Nolitz and related to Chzmuchz, other possible reasons. But Lemais, it's also a D'Rabbanan to start a fire. So you can't strike a match on Yontif. Well, that's the reason why you can't turn on the gears on Yontif. In the olden days, when there were pilot lights, then it was Mutlach HaTchila turn on the gears. Most of us don't have pilot lights. So when you turn on the gears, you're inevitably going to cause that clicking. So that clicking is the electric feature that's starting up the flame. Unless you can circumvent that clicking. So if you're very, very careful, just make sure you know what you're doing. So don't quote, I don't do it because I'm not so, I don't know how to do it so well. But many people know how to do it. It's not that complicated that you can actually turn on your stove on Yontif. If you just turn on really fast, it means you jump right over the clicking part, so you don't activate the clicker. So what you have to do is you have to hold a candle there, and then the gas will just go on by itself, and then it'll light up. So just make sure not to blow up your house. But in theory, you could do it that way. But getting back to the story, so you're not allowed to start a fire from scratch in Yontif. So this is a big machlokes in the poskim in Europe about when you turn on an electric light, is that called starting a fire from scratch, or is that considered to be an extension of just a pre-existing flame? So although there were some gedolei olam, which are really, really big gedolei olam in Europe, including Yerach HaShulchan, who thought that turning on electricity should be mutter on Yontif, because they thought that basically the flame was already there, you're just kind of extending the pre-existing flame into the bulb. So the later poskim pointed out that the metzias was not correct, that the physics just wasn't right, that there's no flame there. Some poskim use a lashon that the fire is in the walls. It's already there. It's just waiting to come out. Others pointed out, there's ochen vein, the fire's in the walls. You should be out of the house. I mean, it's dangerous. There shouldn't be any fire in your walls. So it's not really the fire in the walls. It means the electric current in the walls, but the electric current is not a glowing flame. So lemaisa, when you turn on that switch, so you're the one who's starting that piece of metal filament that's now getting the electric current running through it. So you create, you hear heating up that filament. That's what's happening when you turn on a switch, and that's causing the filament to glow. So Yabamish, like that's like striking a match. So that's what the consensus of the poskim today is. I'm well aware of the fact that I know that there were gedolei olam in Europe who held that it was mutar lechatchila to turn on electric lights in Yom Tov. And I remember as a little boy in America, I grew up in Eastern Europe, a little boy in America. So there were some very, very firm people who did it, people who were regular Shemitah and mitzvahs who used to turn on lights on Yom Tov. They were following that tradition that they had from Europe. But again, that's really somewhat of an outdated position. But all the later poskim said that when they were explained properly the physics, they realized that the whole thing was really not true. And therefore, one should not be turning on electric lights under any circumstances. One time I gave a shiur about this, about not turning on electric lights on Yom Tov. And maybe I just came down a little bit too strong. Somebody came up to me afterwards, an elderly gentleman came up to me afterwards. He was very upset at me. I didn't know who he was. He didn't know who I was. He was very upset at me. He said that I was questioning the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, that there was a Mesorah of certain communities to turn on electric lights. And how dare I, as a young American rabbi, question that Mesorah that had its roots back east. To explain to him that's my generally not known for belittling Mesorahs. I was trying to explain to him that it wasn't really a Mesorah, it was a psak that was issued by a very, very big Gedolei HaPoskim who were just not given the correct facts. So unfortunately, a psak is only as right as the Metzius that's guarding the psak is. So again, this is not my observations, and all the later Rabban, all the later Poskim today, I don't think there's anybody really who would actually advocate that position anymore. Anyway, back to the story. So on Shabbos, to turn on the regular electric lights is of course a problem, and again, according to the Rub of the Poskim, it would be Malacha Deraisa. However, a lot of our lights today are not incandescent bulbs anymore. Probably most of them are not. Our lights today are all kind of different things that are on. And there's no real metal glowing, no real filament glowing anymore, which raises the question, would that then be a Malacha Deraisa? And again, we spoke in the past, and we met Bona a couple of weeks ago, that there are other issues involved in other electricity. Even if Naniach, there's no lights whatsoever, I'm not questioning the Messiah of not turning on electric devices. We shouldn't turn on anything electric on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But we're not quite sure what the Isser is. Maybe it's Bona, maybe it's Nisadarabon Ramolid. There are a variety of different Isurim for other electric devices that don't involve lights per se. The question is, if Bisman Hazel, let's say to turn on a fluorescent light, which a fluorescent light is, it doesn't have any filament, any piece of metal that's glowing, so that's hot to call it Havara. And so what is it? So again, maybe it's Bonem, maybe it's molded. It's also for other reasons. I'm not at all questioning that you can turn on lights on Shabbos, but I want to know exactly, are we dealing with the Deraisa or not? It's important to know whether we're dealing with the Deraisa, because if we're only dealing with the Derabanan, then we already know that sometimes there's room to be make like a goy. Sometimes you can ask a non-Jew to do certain Yisurim Derabanan, but Mokom Mitzvah, so there would be much more wiggle room. If we're dealing with the Deraisa, then there's very, very little to discuss. So what possible Malacha Deraisa could it be if there's no real filament that's glowing? So the fluorescent lights, again, I don't know enough about the electricity part of this. I'm just literally repeating what was told to me. But the electricity involved in terms of, let's say, a fluorescent light, so is that even though there's no filament that's glowing, it's the Ganses that are glowing, but apparently in the starting mechanism, there is something that is glowing. There is a wire, there's something or other that gets red hot or whatever it is. It gets glowing hot. And one could argue that gufa is the malacha. So even though the light itself that I'm benefiting from is not really the malacha, but since that starting mechanism is part of the system, so that gufa is considered to be a potential malacha deraisa havara. It's a little bit tricky what exactly that means. There was a shine in the poskim about it, based on all that metzius. Is that called the davar mechabin mamish, or is that simply called the psigresha de nichalei? That's important for the following. We know that if I do malacha, mamish b'chavana, let's say if I turn on a light, the old style light, I turn on a light, that's not a psik ratio. My goal is to get that filament to glow. That's exactly what I want to be able to read my book. So I need that filament to glow. When I switch on that switch, that's hitting in the filament. That's heating it up in a split second. That's a malacha gemur deraisa. Over here, I couldn't care less about the wire heating up. Probably none of you even knew there was a wire that's eating up. I didn't know about it until these guys in Soma told me about it. But I didn't know there's a why that's heating up. So that's not my goal. My goal is to get the fluorescent bulb to be glowing. Now, getting the fluorescent bulb to be lit up is not really melacha. It's not havara because there's nothing there. It's just gases that are jumping around. The molecules get all tits. They get all excited. They're jumping all over the place. So they're causing light and flash and energy stuff. I just summed up 11th grade physics in one second. So that itself is not really the malacha. The malacha is tucked away inside the device that I don't even know about. So can you call that a davar mechaber mamish? So someone would argue, maybe that's what we call the psik reisha, that I need it to happen. My real goal is to get the light to produce light. That's what I really want, that this fluorescent bulb should produce light. Ella, the only way for it to do it, by turning on the fluorescent bulb, is a psikreisha that I'm going to make the start go on. So maybe that's called a psikreisha. Now, it's a psikreisha nicholai. I'm not saying it's mutter. I'm saying it's also in the Torah. But maybe it's only called a psikreisha de nicholai. Or maybe no. Maybe you can't split hairs like this. Maybe you argue. This is a davar b'chamin mamish. That means, after all, my goal is to get this thing to work. I'm not an electrician. I don't know anything. My only time I ever go to Home Depot is an Erev Sukkos. And the only thing I know how to buy there is things to stick the decorations on. I really, really know. I don't understand electricity. My goal is I want to turn the switch and I want the lights to be on. So you're going to tell me there's a shtickle teira that behind the scenes there's a switch, there's a starter, there's a maislo. That's what I want to happen. That's a davar b'chamin mamish. It's not a psikreisha. So my next kamina, at the end of the day, it's awesome. At the end of the day, psikreishas, the nicholai, are awesome in HaTorah. So what do I care whether I formulate this by saying that it's a davar mechaber mamish or it's a psikreishas nicholai? I can't do it either way. So perhaps a big nafkamina in terms of goyim, in terms of asking a non-Jew, because it's, although not everyone agrees to this, but we generally pass in the halacha that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something that's only derech psikreisha. The starting point is, I can't ask a non-Jew to do malacha for me. What I can do is, I can ask a non-Jew to do A, and even though I know that B is going to happen, and B is a malacha, 100% B is an absolute 100% malacha, and I know that B is going to happen, but it's only through the principle of psikreisha. I'm not asking the non-Jew to do B, I'm asking him to do A. A is mutter. Let's say I have a very, very, very heavy chair, and I know 100% sure that every chair, if I drag it on the ground, it's going to make a hole. So that's not a davar shem miskaveh. That's a psikreisha. So I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to drag that chair for me, knowing full well that the hole is going to be made, because I'm not saying to him, make a hole. I'm saying to him, drag a chair. So my amira, my tzivoy, my command to the non-Jew is a davar mutter. The fact that schleps along with malacha, that's not my amira. That's happening on its own. The non-Jews are deciding to do it that way. My tzivoy is not malacha oriented. So not everyone agrees to that svara, but we generally pass like that svara, at least the tzara, almost always the tzara. Tzara Shabbos, we're going to make it like this. So now it becomes important to know, is the turning on of a fluorescent bulb, is that called davar mechaber mamish? Or is that called derech psikreisha? So if it's a davar mechaber mamish, so then that it would be a problem. Then it's subject to the regular rules of Amir Yachon. You have to figure out what you're allowed to ask a goy to do and not ask a goy to do that. It's tricky. To be matir, have a non-Jew do malacha d'oraisa for you is very, very tricky, very, very hard. You have to really come up with a good reason. But if you're going to tell me that the turning on a fluorescent bulb is only psikreisha, so it's at worst a psikreisha of havara, that's not a problem. And then you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something that's merely a psikreisha, because I'm not really asking him to do it. I'm asking him to turn on the light. I'm not telling him to start the starter. I don't care how the light goes on. I want the light to go on. So the fact that there's a starter that's going on, that's heating up a wire, mice look inside the walls, what does that have to do with me? That's not my tzivu, that's not my amira, and therefore that would be okay. That's a very, very important shiloh. That's a big, big kula. There are many poskim who think that's right. That would be a game changer in terms of having non-Jews turning on lights on Shabbos. Now again, this is not an outright kula, because even if it's only psikreisha, but there are other problems with turning on lights. There are chashashas of bonin, chashashas of molit, so there are a whole series of other reasons. But if we could somehow knock down the Amir Yaakov to not being an Amir Yaakov on a deraisa mamish, if we can make it an Amir Yaakov on a psikreisha, and make it an Amir Yaakov on a derabbanon. So then, under certain extenuating circumstances, will be a lot more makos. Again, this is not an outright, no pun intended, it's not a green light to have goyim turn on off lights for you on Shabbos. But if we're dealing with fluorescent bulbs rather than incandescent bulbs, so we're definitely in a better position than we would have been otherwise. So again, so this is case by case, and different rabbanim have different piskei halacha on this, but this is just some of the background. So a lot of the shailas that come up, not in terms of tachlis, am I going to turn the light on? But can I ask the non-Jew to turn the light on? So a lot of this is going to depend on what your take is. Are we dealing with deraisas, derabanans, we're dealing with psigresh, etc. We're back to the yontif model for a moment. We will be significantly more lenient when it comes to yontif, because yontif, unless like the chazanish with boneh, it's very, very hard for electricity and yontif to be a deraisa, because ma'isa min ha-Torah, I'm allowed to rub two sticks together. Min ha-Torah, I'm allowed to strike a match. The yisur of ein motzinas eish v'eitz min avonim, we're going to many, most posts, we're probably on the midir avonim. Even though there's no way we're going to be makel to ourselves to turn on electric lights in yontif, to have goyim do it when there's some kind of a tzorach mitzvah or something, so then we would be in a much better position. We would be in a shvus to shvus b'bakal mitzvah. So these, again, many, many things you have to put all the pieces of the puzzle together to figure out. Are we dealing with deraisas, derabonans, psigreshes, etc.? Sometimes with lights, it's a little bit tricky. Also, are we dealing with the davra mechabe mamish? Are we dealing with derech psigresha? You have the shayla, even with old style bulbs, and the following two potential applications of this: opening up a refrigerator and opening up a car door. In both cases, the light presumably is going to go on, assuming that be a shivsha car, a shivsha refrigerator. So if you open up the refrigerator, you open up the car door, the light's going to go on. So what is that? Is that called a psikresha? It means basically opening up a car door. And now Nebuch has a psikresha that the light's going to go on. Basically opening up a refrigerator, now it's a psikresha, the light's going to go on. Is that a psikresha? Or is that a davar mechamin mamish? The way to turn on the light in the car is to open the door. The way to turn on the light in the refrigerator is to open the door. So again, it sounds like a very fine point, because it's also either way, but it's very, very important. It's important to gabi goyim, gabi non-Jews. Can I ask a non-Jew to open up the car door? Can I ask a non-Jew to open up the refrigerator? So if you hold that it's only psikresha, so then psikresha on Amir Liachim is mutter, like we said before, because I'm not asking him to do this particular act. If you hold these are Devarma Kavana Mamish, so then that would be absolutely much more problematic. So that's a machlok, it's in your Mashim Shlomo Zalman. The machlok is the Gedalia Poskim about these kinds of scenarios. These are also case by case. So a lot of times when these shaylas come up, a person forgot to unplug, to unscrew the refrigerator light bulb. So the question is, can they have a non-Jew come in and just open it up for them? Or they forgot to lock the car in Shabbos, whatever. They want to have the non-Jew open up the car door and then lock the car, or whatever it is. So all these kinds of shaylas, which are inevitably going to turn on lights. So each and every time you have to ask yourself, are we dealing with deraisa lights, derabanan lights? Are we dealing with kavana mamish? Are we dealing with psigreshes? How you answer all these things is going to obviously impact what the final psak is going to be. So much of what we've been talking about tonight is really havara, but it spills over from kibbuy, because the whole sugi began with the kibbuy gachal shematechas. The Gemara talks about kibbuy of Gichal Shematechas. The Rishon extrapolate now to Havar of Gichal Shematechas. So that sets the stage for the whole electricity show. Hopefully that's shown next week. So we'll try just a little bit more, a little drop more to do in terms of Mateches. And then I want to move on to other more kibbuy proper related issues, particularly issues related to grama. A lot of the sugis of grama, of indirect and delayed reaction, that kind of stuff, a lot of it finds itself in the Gemara itself vis-a-vis the Malach of kibbuy. So some very, very important you say this. Hopefully, next week we'll try to continue with that. Okay, good. Wish everybody.